wrapping up conversations. Okay, so we're sharing with the wider group of what you guys have talked about. Curious minds want to know. I think Eve's on a roll. She's in the zone.
She's in the zone.
Eve is in his own.
Something.
Okay. So, any sharing? You were first.
As I was saying,
you were really interrupted.
I really appreciated the specific exercises that were suggested to us in between the classes to, you know, like come into your body and recognize, you know, how the way your body is feeling might relate to the other senses of your meditative life that you might be experiencing as well. For me, I'm a total beginner, and so all of this stuff is just, you know, like I'm just making the initial connections and pathways, and that was real helpful.
So basically having a map, so to speak.
Just something to do, something specific to do, okay. You know, was
okay.
Along with, of course, reading the material, but being able to then do something was great.
Something practical.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Hey, Carol.
I agree wholeheartedly, and it really made me feel like I was practicing a lot and bringing my mindfulness off the cushion and into my daily life. It just was so helpful. And now it's 8 months worth of material, right? And I worry that I'll forget stuff. But I really, you get a chance to embody it in that with that much practice. And so I'm not too worried about that. And I can refresh my memory. And but I really feel like I've held on to a lot of the learning, even if I couldn't come up with it right now.
And we'll probably offer it again next year. It's not like you're ever done with the Eightfold Path, so it's possible to do it again.
That's what I felt like I can do this again and again.
Yeah.
Like I don't think the Buddha intended us to just do it once. It's a lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's a real lifetime, and it felt less magic. This calling it path factors, and it takes the magic out of it, and it makes it very like do this, try this, do this, do like we're human. It isn't that we have to be born enlightened, you know, that it's effortful. It takes really a lot of, it takes effort, and not kind of effort, but it takes, and this is it is like a map. Just do this, and then do this, and then do this. So I really appreciate that. And just, like you don't just sit and expect something.
Well, first of all, Bill and Kim and all the teachers, I really want to thank you guys for, you know, the love and the care that you put in. I feel it. I'm deeply touched. And then I was thinking about my, you know, having a little enlightenment diploma. Because I think
you should add it to the program.
Guaranteed that you did the Eightfold Path, right? And I've worked very hard at the Eightfold Path, but I realized yesterday, without thinking about it, I actually had spontaneous happiness where actually I saw and felt the Buddha in my life. That's a... Yeah, so I think I got my diploma. So thank you.
Just a second. Just wrapping onto that, Charles, there's a teacher in Australia named Ajahn Brahm, who I mentioned before, you know, teaches the jhanas, and one of the things that he does for folks is he gives them happiness licenses. He found that so many people, you know, it's like they just don't deserve to feel happy.
Yeah.
They don't feel that way. And we have licenses in life. So at the end of one of his books, he has a happiness license.
Yeah, that's this book, the guy that is right in this complex here wrote this, Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, and it's about joy. And he said the Dalai Lama didn't understand that about the West. He couldn't grasp that. That basically we kind of loathe each other, ourselves in the West, that we don't feel like we have a right to be happy. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, frame your diploma.
Thank you.
One of the things I wanted to mention, besides everything that's been mentioned already, was the benefit of having that mentor relationship and once a month meeting with my mentor, and how important and supportive of my own practice that teacher-student relationship, right? But it just, the level of confidence of just having a witness and also getting some, you know, I guess you'd say feedback, and it's just so valuable. So I really appreciate, you know, that was offered to us through this Eightfold Program. I think it would be very different if it was just read this and do these exercises without that relationship. So thank you.
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
So one of the things that came up really strong for me when you first said that was the reflections of, like, we did this, you know, systematically, one factor at a time for 8 months. And as we continued to go through each month, it was like, well, I can't really look at that unless I look at, you know, these factors before that and how they interplay with that next one. And, you know, as we continued, this wasn't a new realization, but it was really highlighted when each week all those questions would come in and the reflections would come in on the email. And it's like, well, this involves, you know, the intention involves effort and speech, and, you know, they're all interconnected. And I started envisioning, you know, the Dharma wheel with the 8 spokes, and, you know, there's 8 spokes, but they all meet in the center. And there's this solid center holding all of them together. And yes, we have all 8 spokes, but they are joined. They are not separated at all. And I don't see it as circular or spiral. I just see it as interwoven. And
here we go.
Exactly 1 hour.
So I mentioned that, Betsy. I've contemplated during this whole process, you know, having an engineering mind, what is the structure of this? And I don't have an answer. It's like, it's just a neural network, you know, and everything's related to everything else. In some kind of linear sequence, but not. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, we have the center of the Dharma wheel and 8 spokes, and they're all interconnected in the center. In the center.
Yeah.
The thing about a wheel is that at the very, very center, there's a hole for the axle. It's empty.
I suppose in the center, it's still.
That's right.
Yeah. But contemplations on kind of the calm and collected mind, the sensations you would feel, any reflections on that?
Spaciousness.
I guess not.
Spaciousness, expandedness. Not confined to the limits of the skin on the body.
So that's kind of the feeling you would have, just
well, yeah.
It's like your body dissolves.
Not so much dissolves as just incorporates everything and just being one with, as opposed to not being.
A lack of separateness.
Yeah, I've been doing some concentration practice in the past, and I've experienced the calmness and the peace of mind and everything, and softness of the body, and light, the body becomes really light. And then one of the questions was also, what's the value of that? And I was thinking, well, my teachers told me it's wholesome, and I believe them, but I don't know any other value. Maybe you could tell some more about that, if there's some more value in being concentrated and experiencing those peacefulness, peaceful states of mind and calmness.
I can speak from my own experience. I can make comments too, you know, but when I've had these experiences, it feels like it, the most important part of it is what I carry out, you know, as I then go into the world, and I find that I'm less reactive. I connect easier. I have more access to how I feel. My mind is sharper. You know, I don't get distracted easy. So for me, it's not the in the moment experience that's as important as what comes off the cushion. And I find my whole life is more vivid. You know.
So you've experienced being agitated also, right? And so when you think of one and you think of the other, you have a preference?
Yes, of course.
That's the value. I have very strong faith in the heart's ability to find its way toward what is genuinely a wholesome and peaceful state when it gets to mindfully experience that, compared to actually mindfully experiencing agitation, which we can do also. And that's the force that drives us toward liberation, is the natural tendency of the mind to go toward what is wholesome. And when there's mindfulness, we're able to make the choice between wholesome and unwholesome, as opposed to when we're not mindful, we usually make the choice between pleasure and pain. And that's little switch that isn't so little to go for wholesome and unwholesome, or skillful and unskillful, and moving toward the skillful as opposed to moving toward pleasure is the difference between habitual samsaric existence and living by wisdom. I think John had his hand up earlier also.
Well, it was for the previous one, but since you asked, I just wanted to echo what other folks had said and tell you thank you for both you and Bill and all of the teachers. This is, for me, it's just been, this class has come at the right time. Just helped me put structure to a lot of things that I already knew something about, but it helped organize it for me. What I have noticed over the last 8 months is how often I reference these steps in my daily life. How would I do this? Oh, let me think. Wise speech or right effort or whatever it is, there's something to help me. It gives me a reference point. mind you, I don't always do it the best that I could, but I have a place to go. I have a place to look to that helps me. And I like what you said a moment ago, Bill, about how you described it, how it affects your life. That I've resonated with that a lot. Living one's life a little bit more vivid, with a bit more ease and skill. So thank you.
I'll be able to speak more to concentration after this month.
Yeah, we're not after done. We have one more month.
I have a question. Okay, is it time for questions?
Sure.
Okay, so understanding that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, okay, so if my interpretation is not correct. Understanding that mindfulness is mindfulness in the present moment. However, when we go through the day and then after that we have, so I have some realization that maybe I shouldn't have said that, maybe I should have something different. I mean, isn't that also part of mindfulness? I mean, at what moment do you actually sit with yourself to go over the situation that already passed, but that nevertheless, I believe one needs to be able to reflect on things that have passed, either to see, you know, our own behavior or forgive me, I'm going to say, to see if I'm right or not, right? Because also that's important. It's not that I'm always wrong. I mean, okay, so isn't that also part of mindfulness, although it would be mindfulness of the past or whatever I did or not did? I mean, evaluate a situation. Or can I call that my object of meditation?
So there's a lot of different kinds of meditation, and reflection is an important part of the path. So what you're describing is a very valuable and wholesome thing to do, is to reflect on how situations felt and what did I accomplish today and what are my intentions for tomorrow, or go to the future also. I wouldn't call it mindfulness. That's a different practice, basically. But it's all part of the path. Reflective exercises, mindfulness, concentration practice, many different, you know, development of the heart through Brahmaviharas, etc. So you've just highlighted a different component. Yeah, it's part of wise effort, perhaps, if you want to put it into a path factor or wise intention looking forward. Yeah. Wise view. Yeah. Did you have anything to add?
Well, there's an aspect of that is, at least I would reflect on situations, and I'll feel a certain way about that. There's a mindfulness for me of the feeling of the reflection, and that can inform, okay, what do I do? Like I reflect upon an interaction with my daughter, and I feel unsettled about that, right? And so I'm mindful of how I feel in my body, and then I take action on that. So I just felt from your question that mindfulness doesn't preclude the past. I mean, mindfulness, you know, brings the past and the present, you know, can bring them together in that moment, you know, and where your understanding was something that just happened. Right? And back to reflection. But then to spend time on that is a little bit different practice.
That could not be part of a object of meditation?
It sounds like obsession to me.
My question?
No. The looking at, constantly reflecting on, or the object of meditation is the past. That sounds like.
You can only be aware in the present.
Yeah.
The past doesn't actually exist.
But you can. Wouldn't that be part of
exercising equanimity is, you know, you're reviewing something that happened or a series of things that happened in order to back up and get a clear sense of what is the reality of that.
In a sense.
Does that fit? Because if it's like an ongoing situation, you know it's going to get repeated.
Yeah, but you have to be aware that what you're aware of mm-hmm. in the present moment is always in the present moment. You are remembering something from the past, but that memory is what's happening in the present moment. Right? And our memory is notoriously inaccurate. So it's we may very well have an impression of something that happened, and we can relive certain experiences. It's part of trauma healing, and there are other techniques around this. So I'm not dismissing it at all. I'm just pointing out that in the context of the path, we would say, oh, that is understood as being something that's happening in the present moment, but we're relating to something from the past because karma does get stuck. It's fine. It can be very skillful, like we've been saying to Carlotta, but just important to sort of understand that context. I had another thought come up also, which was that reflection, I would say, like reflection on our actions, while helpful, I think what we're moving toward, just as an aim, is that we would do that in real time. Because the best information you have is, what does it feel like right now while I'm doing this? And if something is not going well and is veering away from the path, we can get sensitive to that as it's happening. You start to feel a little sense of, oh, this is not, my intention is falling away, or maybe the other person's being very unskillful, and whoa, I'd better be careful in order that I don't get stuck in that. But the real-time approach is a marker of what we're moving toward. Less need for reflection if it was cleanly done in the present. But don't idealize that and try to be a perfectionist. just as a... that just came to mind from what we've been talking about. Yeah. Okay, we are sort of nearing the end. Okay. Well, since I have the microphone, I'll just say that there is, of course, one more month. We're not finished. You'll meet with your mentor. You'll have exercises on concentration. And then on this, the retreat that Bill mentioned is on June 17th, and I think you got an email about it. It's up in Redwood City at IMC, so I know it's not possible for everyone, but I would encourage, if you can, to sign up for that day because it's just a really sweet day. You'll be with everyone else from this program who decides to go, but also from the IMC program, which was running in parallel to us. You've already met two of them, see? They're pretty cool, huh? So it'll be other people like them. And
Kim, I've actually seen a couple different emails, and one said that Day Long is in IMC in Redwood City, and another one said it's at IRC.
No, that's a mistake. It was at IRC last year. It's definitely at IMC in Redwood City. So I'll check if that got sent accidentally. That was a mistake. It would be nice if it were at IRC, but unfortunately it doesn't work. And that lunch is provided, so they'll cook. There's going to be a cook there, cook for you guys. Should be nice, and you might even get a diploma. So you have to go to find out. Okay, and then the only other thing I'll say is just a little announcement about Donna, which is that some people ask, oh, how can I give Donna to my mentor? If you're so inspired, of course it's not, you know, it's whatever is in your heart. But the method for doing that is to place the Donna in an envelope with a separate envelope and write the teacher's name on it, the mentor's name, and say, you know, Eightfold Path Mentor Donna, and put it in the teacher Donna basket back there. And that'll get processed, and the person will get sent a check for that amount. Just FYI, you can do that. Anything else? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.